welcome to this special presentation from the Revelation Promises Hope Bible Prophecy Seminar. It is our hope that you are led closer to Jesus Christ by listening to this message. We encourage you to listen to the presentations of this seminar in their order, for at times foundational material from previous messages will be necessary to understand the present topic. God bless you now as you listen to this presentation. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here on this your Sabbath day. And we thank you for the opportunity to study and to learn from the scripture this morning. And may you bless us as we do so. Give us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we might understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Want to look at the subject of keeping the Sabbath holy. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go to the most famous place where the Sabbath is mentioned in the book of Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, to begin. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The commandment of God, given here in Exodus 20, is this the first time we find mention of the Sabbath in the Bible? No, it's not. We spoke on that last evening. We find the Sabbath, of course, brought out first in the book of Genesis. But before we go there, what has God told us in this passage regarding the Sabbath? What's the very first word the command begins with in verse 8? Remember. Now, what does that indicate to us? Don't forget. Now, is it only on the day of that we should remember it? No, right? It's not. God has asked us to have a certain practice or to refrain from certain practices on this day as we read through the commandment. And so in order for us to do that, it has to be something that we have conscious in our understanding throughout the week. And so as God asks us to remember, He's therefore giving us indication He would think it well for us to be planning for the Sabbath of the Lord. We looked last night on the screen when we had our presentation of determining which day was the Sabbath. We looked at the experience of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. Well, on the sixth day of the week, which was the day Jesus was crucified, the day was known, as we read in Luke chapter 23, as the preparation. Now, we're going to touch on that a little more, but that gives us indication that God would have us prepare for something. Prepare for His day, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, as the week progresses along. Now, a popular question is, when does the Sabbath begin? How long does it go for? Well, commonly we reckon time in these days from midnight to midnight. That's how society has set up our calendar, basically. We register the next day at 12:01, and it begins the next day. But does God reckon time the same way? No, He does not. So let's take a look in our Bibles in the book of Leviticus. That's the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and we're going to look at verse 32 to find out something here about what God says about His method of keeping time. Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 32. And it says there, "It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even," or evening unto evening, "shall you celebrate your Sabbath." Now, I'd like us to also consider another passage. If you recall in Genesis chapter 1, what does the Bible say about the days of the week as God was creating? When He completed His work, let's say on the first day, when He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, at the end of that day, how does the Bible record? The evening and the morning were the first day. Now, when you come to day number 2 and day number 3, what does He say at the end of those days? The same words. The evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, the fourth day. When God looks at a day, He begins His day, He begins His reckoning of time with the evening, the dark part of the day. And so we have, now we're in the morning here now, it's a little after 10 in the morning. We are now entering the second half of this day, according to God's calendar. Because we have already had the dark part, now it's the light part, when the sun shines. And so we are moving into the second half of the day. Now, notice in the book of Mark, if you have an opportunity to go there in your Bibles, Mark, the first chapter. Mark is the second book of the New Testament, Matthew, then Mark. And we are looking at the 32nd verse, verse 32. This is a chapter that discusses a Sabbath in the life of Jesus. Various things He did, things that He was going to do, and miracles that He did. And we find that the people of the day had a certain concept of what to do and not to do on the Sabbath. Now, they weren't always right. Jesus came to clarify a few things for them. But we notice here at verse 32, it says, "And at evening," or even, "when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and all that were possessed of devils." So that day was the Sabbath. The verses previous show us it was the Sabbath day. Jesus did His ministry and taught people and healed people and so forth. At the end of the day, it says when the sun went down, when the sun set, that's when the rest of the people, the main population, brought their needs to Jesus. When the holy time had finished, then they came to see Christ. Now, of course, Jesus has told us that it's good to do good on the Sabbath. So to have healed those people would not have been a problem. But those people had a certain concept. They recognized when the Sabbath began and when it ended. And that's the purpose we look at this passage. The Bible shows us that God reckons time, considers time, from sunset through to the next sunset. And so in actuality, the Sabbath of God begins, as every other day begins, with the sunset on the previous evening. And so today, we call the day Saturday. But the Sabbath of God actually began last night, Friday night, when the sun went down, approximately 8:30 or so this time of year. Now, in the wintertime, when does the Sabbath begin? Still at sunset, but the time has changed due to our location on the earth and the place, our position with the sun. It's about 4 o'clock in the coldest part of winter. And as the year progresses, the sunset time changes. But always, God's Sabbath is a 24-hour period. It's always from sunset through to sunset, which is always 24 hours. In the summer, 8:30 or 9 o'clock through to 8:30 or 9 o'clock. In the winter, 4 o'clock, 4:30 through to the next, 4 o'clock or 4:30. So God is consistent in His Word over and over again about how He reckons time from evening unto evening. Now, one of the things, we're talking about making this a joyful celebration. One of the things that we can do to recognize the Sabbath, the fact that it has come upon us, that we have now this holy time coming in our lives, is that we can welcome the Sabbath in our own personal home. We can have a personal devotional time with the Lord at that point. If we are members of a Sabbath-keeping family, if our family members or those that we live with keep the Sabbath, then we can do it together. Make it a family time. If we happen to live alone like I do, the Sabbath can be brought in just as joyfully, just as meaningfully by ourselves because we can do it in the presence of Jesus. It's His day that He has designed that we should be together with Him. There's special things you can do. There's a lot of beautiful activities that the Bible shows us and tells us that are joyful to do on the Sabbath hours. And one thing that I have always enjoyed from time to time is getting together with friends on the beginning of the Sabbath, opening it the Sabbath together with prayer, with singing, with reading from the Scripture, just time in fellowship and learning of the Lord. But now, the question that we did not look at in our last presentation was, who was the Sabbath made for? In our world today, many people take the position that the Sabbath was made only for the Jewish people. Now, we know that the Jews today keep the Sabbath. We know that they are Saturday-keeping in their religious festivals. But what does the Bible actually say? Better yet, what does Jesus say about who the Sabbath was made for? Let's take a look. We're in the book of Mark there. We're looking at Mark now, chapter 2. Mark, the second chapter. And we're going to look at verse 27. God tells us something very clearly here about who it was given to. God is the one who made it, yes. God is the one who has given it, yes. But to who? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So Jesus tells us, he says, the Sabbath was made for, what was the word? Man. Now that's an M-A-N is an interesting way to spell Jew, isn't it? Right? It just doesn't work. Because God never designed that the Sabbath would be only for the Jewish people. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that very clearly. In Genesis 2, were there any Jews? No. Were there any blacks or whites or Asians? No. There was simply mankind, Adam and Eve. And God gave them, his creation, his people, a very special gift in the Sabbath. And so we find in Matthew or Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So God made the Sabbath after he made man because he was giving it as a gift to man. Sometimes we think, or it's taken the position, that the Sabbath was made first and then God said, I have to have people to keep it. No, it wasn't done that way. God gave it as a special gift to his people. And so he's given this day for the purpose of us being filled with joy. Because it's a day that God has given for us to strengthen our relationship with him. It's a beautiful opportunity for us to lay aside the things that burden our minds, the things that occupy our attention all through the week. A beautiful opportunity to do that. I don't have to focus on all of the work that I need to do during the week. I can lay it aside and spend the day with Jesus. I can let my mind be free from the cares of this world. I can lay aside my busyness. I can lay aside my thoughts and cares for finances or for housework or any of those things can all be laid aside. And I'll tell you, when Friday evening rolls around, I'm very happy to lay them aside. Very happy because the time is given for us to meet with Jesus. Now the commandment of God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keep it holy. So therefore, the Sabbath is a day for holy activities. What do we find Jesus doing in his example? We looked in Luke chapter 4 last night, and we found that Jesus had a custom. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So Jesus had a custom or a practice that he did regularly to go where? He went to church. He went to church. He gathered together with other people who were coming together to worship and praise God. That was the practice of Jesus. And so if he had a practice of doing that, and we found out that the Bible calls us to follow the example of Jesus, God indicates that the Sabbath is a good day for us to be doing the very same thing. We can come together like we're doing here today, in the presence of other Christian believers, in the presence of other people who are seeking to uplift and praise God, and we can be joyful and celebrate this holy time that God has given us together. But now I want to notice something from the book of Hebrews. This is an important concept that many Christians sometimes don't dwell upon. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, toward the end of your New Testament, we'll be looking at chapter 10, and we're going to read together verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Notice the Bible says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day do you think it's talking about? Not the Sabbath specifically here. It's talking about the day of the coming of Jesus. We're coming so close to the coming of Jesus, we need all the encouragement we can get to keep enduring in this Christian race. And so Paul, as he writes here, he tells us, don't forsake, don't leave off, don't forget the coming together of yourselves. Come together as a body of believers. Come together as Christians in fellowship in the Lord's praise and worship of the Lord. He says, the manner of some is, but he says, we need to get together more and more often as we see the coming of Jesus drawing ever so close. Now, when has God designed that we should meet together? Of course, there's nothing wrong with meeting all the days of the week, but God has made a special appointment for us to come together. When is that? It's on the Sabbath, that's correct. But how do we know that? Let's come in our Bibles. We've got to have a Bible answer for these things, and so that's what we're going to look for. Back in the book of Leviticus again. Leviticus chapter 23. I want you to notice the word that God uses when he is addressing the subject of the Sabbath. Leviticus, chapter 23. We're going to be looking together at verse 3. It's almost a repetition of the command of the Lord, but there's a special word used here that we want to notice. Leviticus, third book of our Bibles, chapter 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. On holy what? Convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. Now, what is a convocation? That's not a word we use in our everyday language these days, is it? What is a convocation? A convocation is another term for a gathering together. You know, sometimes you have the term conference, or you have the term assembly. Another word, a word in the Bible, is the word convocation. It's a time when people come together. And God calls the Sabbath a holy coming together. A holy time for us to join together in worship and in fellowship with Him. It's a day that God has designated for us to worship. We find Jesus doing it. We find Paul doing it. We find in the book of Acts near 90 records of Sabbath meetings when people of God, believers, sometimes visitors, non-believers, came together as they heard the Word of God spoken and learned the Word of Christ. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to develop spiritually as well. You know, sometimes when we're in the presence of a group and we're interacting with one another, I can learn something from you, you can learn something from me. I can share some blessing of the Lord from my life, you can share some blessing of the Lord from your life. It's a time when we can grow together, closer together as believers, but also increase our understanding of God's Word, develop our relationship with Him. Now, typically, Sabbath-keeping people, Sabbath-keeping churches, gather together a couple of times on the Sabbath. Usually there's a main worship service, a church service, as almost every congregation has. But also there's a time called Sabbath school, or, which is comparable, as many are understanding or familiar with, the term Sunday school. It's a time of Bible study, except it's done on the Sabbath, therefore Sabbath school. It's an opportunity, typically, for adults and children alike to come together and to study the Bible, to learn things of Jesus on their own level. Children, of course, studying children's lessons, adults taking part in more adult-level Bible studies and so forth. And it's a great time for us to fellowship in that way and to learn, to grow, and to mature in Jesus Christ. Want to address also the question very briefly about the Lord's Day. We find in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, a statement where John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Now, many times Christians look at this passage and say, well, this must be Sunday because it's called the Lord's Day. And many times various churches in our communities reference to Sunday observance or Sunday worship as worship on the Lord's Day. Well, is that what the Bible bears out? What day actually is the Lord's Day? Now, we had it read just a little while ago from Mark chapter 2, and it said what? Let's take a turn back there so we can see it from our own Bibles again. Mark, the second chapter, this time verse 28. Mark 2, verse 28. "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Which day does Jesus say He is Lord of? He's Lord of the Sabbath. And so when John says, and we find actually Jesus makes a statement similar to this in three Gospels. Matthew's Gospel, here in Mark's Gospel, and in Luke's Gospel. The same thing is recorded each time for us, just a little bit differently. And we find then when John is saying, another one of Jesus' disciples, who would be acquainted with Jesus' understanding and Jesus' teaching about the Sabbath, in Revelation chapter 1, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Well, he knew, as well as we do from reading the Scripture, that the day that Jesus says is his day is the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Now, Jesus has told us that it is good, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Many times, and it's a sad thing, I believe, many times those who are familiar with the Sabbath or learning about the Sabbath or have been keeping the Sabbath for many, many years, the focus tends to be on what not to do. God said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And it becomes an overwhelming burden to many. Now, I'm not saying that's the presentation that the Bible gives us, but many people have created a burden in the Sabbath for themselves. A good example of that is you go back into the times of the Jews and the Pharisees, and they had religious laws all about the Sabbath that they had made up, not things that the Bible had done. For instance, I'll share one. They had what was called a Sabbath day's journey. And so if this was my home right here, I could only go, we'll just use a random example, 10 steps on the Sabbath. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But now I really wanted to go to that window and open it. How am I going to make that work? Well, then what they said was you had to have something from your house. And so if you had an article from your house, you could take it and you could lay it down, and then your house has been transferred and you can take another 10 steps. Right? A Sabbath day's journey. So if you transferred your house from one place to another, your journey could get longer and longer. You see, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? And this was some of the man-made laws that they had created for the purpose of governing the people and the religious leaders keeping grasp on what the people could do and could not do. But that was never the intention of Jesus. Jesus gave us the Sabbath as a day of delight, as a day of celebration, as a day that we can connect with Him, connect and fellowship one with another, and have joy. Let's take a look at a passage that tells us exactly that from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This is a fantastic passage of Scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah is just about half in your Bibles. After Psalms and Proverbs, the first big prophet you come to is the writings of Isaiah. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. Notice this beautiful passage that the Lord is giving. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Right in this passage of Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, there's a beautiful promise here for God's people, especially on the Sabbath day. God says that He would like for us to turn our feet away from doing our own things, which is what the commandment had already echoed. But notice what He says. He says, call the Sabbath a delight. That's what He intended it to be. He said, it's the holy of the Lord. It's honorable. And He says, on that day you can honor Him. And then He shows us how, what things to turn our feet away from, our own ways, our own pleasures, our own words. But He says, delight yourself in the Lord. And notice the promise. Notice what He says is our blessing as we do so. He says, I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has promised a blessing, a special blessing for those of His people who will honor His day. You know, I firmly believe, and this is not just a theological statement, this is a statement from experience. I have been a Sabbath-keeping Christian now for approximately 14 years. Not all my life. As I indicated last night, I was raised in another faith, but I have been keeping the Sabbath now for about 14 years. It has been a blessing, because on that day, God has said He will, that we can delight ourselves in Him. It's a day of delight, and He'll cause us to ride high in His blessing. I'll tell you, that is true. It has happened. It's been experienced in my life. I have experienced those blessings. I believe that there is a blessing that God gives on the Sabbath that is like a blessing from no other day. He has indicated and told us this is His day, holy. Now the solemnity or the holiness cannot be transferred by you or I to any other day. So when we have our lives brought into shape with God's plan, we are going to experience the blessing that He has designed for us to receive on that day. It's a holy day. It's an opportunity. And I don't like to focus on the don'ts because of what happened with the Jewish people and the Pharisees, they got so caught up in the don'ts that they lost sight of the true meaning of the Sabbath, the blessing of the Sabbath. But God has told us that we have a lot of do's. I am thankful that on the Sabbath I can lay aside my newspapers. I am thankful that I can lay aside my mechanical tools and my car tools. I'm thankful that I can lay aside my shopping lists. Because it's a day that all during the week, I know I have all of those things that I have to do. But on the Sabbath, I'm free. Right? God has said that His law is a law of liberty. And so on the Sabbath, I can lay those things aside. I don't have to get up in the morning and say, oh no, I have to go out and repair the car. Oh no, I have to go shopping this morning. Or, oh, and I have to do this. No, God says you are free to lay those things aside and delight yourself in me. And that's what the reason God has given it to us. I don't have to let the television or the radio or all of the things that are distracting me during the week distract me on God's day. I don't have to let that happen. Because God says a day that I can spend with Him. And Jesus, we find Him over and over and over again in the Scripture doing works of ministry, works of delight for people on the Sabbath day. And God says it's a day for us to be doing good as well. But we cannot pass over, when we're looking at how the Bible says to observe the Sabbath, we cannot pass over what God asks us not to do. There is mention there. It is one of His commands. So we want to take just a moment now to look at what He actually does say. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But the Sabbath, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work. So God asks us to refrain from our work, our secular activities, our job on the Sabbath, because those things become a distraction between us and our relationship with Him. If I'm having to be on the job, my 9-to-5 that I do every other day of the week, and I have to come in, punch the clock, and then I'm going to be on a production line of some sort, and I got parts coming this way, and I got parts coming that way, or I have a truck to unload, or I have this, if we're at the mill, we have to make the paper and cut the trees and all these kind of things. My mind is not on the Lord and on delighting in my salvation, but rather my mind is on things of this world. And God has designed that the Sabbath be a day that lifts us spiritually from this world so that we can focus and dwell with Him. So He asks us not to do any work. On the Sabbath, God asks that we stop those activities. We can even lay aside the yard work. We can lay aside the business, the finances, all of the things that would tend to lessen the sanctity of the Sabbath. I want to look at one illustration that the Bible gives us in the book of Nehemiah. Not a book that we're very familiar with. It's an Old Testament book. If you're coming through, it's about one-third the way through your Bible in the Old Testament. You'll come to a book. Psalms is near the middle. Before the Psalms, you have Job. Before Job is Esther. Before Esther is Nehemiah. So we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. Again, before the Psalms. Before Job, before Esther, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13, verse 15 through 22. Now, notice the force that the prophet Nehemiah was giving here in his command. Now, this was the people of God he was talking to who were in some state of rebellion against God, not being faithful to their keeping of God's wishes. Beginning in verse 15 of Nehemiah 13. Now, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and others bringing in sheaves, and lading donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified against them in that day, wherein they sold the victuals. So on that day there was people who had been out, they harvested their crops, bring them in for sale, set up market right there on the Sabbath. Then it says, there dwelt also men of Tyre, that was another city, also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and they sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. He said, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you are doing and profaning the Sabbath day? Didn't your fathers do the same thing, and they did? And did not God bring all the evil upon us and upon our city? He was referencing back to the captivity. They had been taken captive from their land and brought to Babylon because of their forsaking the ways of God. So he reminds them of that. He says, you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, it's Friday evening, it says, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gate that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. Now Nehemiah, as the governor of God's people at that time in Jerusalem, had to take some action to help instruct the people in the ways of God. All the way through the Bible, we find God's prophets being raised up for the purpose of instructing and guiding God's people. Nehemiah wasn't there to be the whip. Nehemiah wasn't there to be the chastiser. But he was there and under the direction of God to be the one who would give direction and help bring the people of God back into right practice and right relationship with Jesus. And so he goes on to say that he closed the doors of the gates and that nothing would be there. So he helped the people by making the situation a little easier so the foreign merchants wouldn't come in and set up shop and therefore be a temptation for the people to disregard the Sabbath hours. And so what we find is that Nehemiah presents to us that yes, work should not be done, as the commandment has said, but also buying and selling should not be done on the Sabbath. God says it's a day that we can lay aside our shopping. We can lay aside our needs and going out to have to go to store to store to store. Because remember what that's doing. We might not be working. We might be just passing time in pleasure. But our being there is causing someone else to do the same thing. Right? We have to go to that cashier. We have to go to that place and cause them to be working and to serving us in that capacity, which we want to avoid as much as possible. Now, certain times there are things that must be done. There are sick that take place on the Sabbath. The sick need to be cared for. There are elderly in homes that cannot care for themselves. They need to be cared for. Jesus told us that it is good and lawful to do good on the Sabbath in care and minister for others. But the secular pursuits of our lives, we can lay those aside and have joy in laying them aside on the day that God wants to meet with us. Throughout the New Testament, throughout the Bible, we find God is telling us and reminding us of His blessing. Now we find in the book of Exodus, now I want to come back to the book of Exodus one more time as we come to a close here in just a few minutes. Back to the book of Exodus, the second book of our Bibles, chapter 16. Now this is before the commandment of Exodus chapter 20. Before God spoke and echoed those Ten Commandments, before He wrote them on stone, Exodus chapter 16 happens. God has just brought the people out of Egypt. He's opened the Red Sea by marvelous miracles and has walked the whole nation, possibly up to a couple million people, right across that sea, closed the sea in again, defeated their captors, and He's leading them by this pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Marvelous miracles that God is doing. But in Exodus 16, the people get a little hungry from their journey. God needs to provide some food for them. And so He does. Let's notice what the Bible says in verse 23 of Exodus 16. And He says, And He said to them, Exodus 16, 23, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, seethe what you will seethe today, and that which remains overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now, before we continue here, God was providing a miracle of bread. What was that bread called that He rained down from heaven? Manna, that's right, called manna. And God rained it down. Now, what He had told them was that if this manna came down, let's say on Tuesday morning, they had to go out, collect what they needed for the day. Now, if they wanted to save some over for Wednesday's breakfast, what did they find on Wednesday morning with the manna they had kept over? It was all gone bad, right? It had rotted away, breeded worms. God wanted them to trust Him. He said, I will give you bread every single day. Trust me. So if you try to save it over, it's not going to keep because I'm going to bring it down the next day. And God did. For 40 years, He rained manna from heaven. Every day of the week, except one day. Now, on the Friday, or the sixth day, as the Bible calls it, God did something a little extra special. On the sixth day, He rained down. You can read this all the way through the rest of the chapter of Exodus 16. He rained down twice as much manna. So if there were 100 pieces on the ground on Thursday, there were 200 pieces on the ground on Friday. And God said, go out and collect just enough for Friday? No. He said, collect twice as much, because there will come none on Sabbath. Okay? So they did. But now every other day, it had gone bad the next day. Wednesday's manna, if they kept it, was rotten on Thursday. Thursday's manna, if they kept it, was rotten on Friday. But Friday's manna, when they kept it over, what did God do? He performed an amazing miracle, different than the other days of the week, in that He allowed this manna to be kept for 2 days. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24 of Exodus 16. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade them. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm in it. God performed this miracle for 40 years also. Every day of the week, except the Sabbath, manna came down. Every day of the week, the manna was only good for 1 day, but Friday's manna kept for 2 days. What was God telling them? God was saying, first of all, trust me. I am your provider. And the Sabbath was a reminder of God's provision. But also, God was making it possible for them not to have any work that they had to do. He gave all the food on Friday so they could work with it, prepare it, be prepared for the Sabbath hours. They didn't have to get up Saturday morning and go out and collect their day's food. No, God had made a provision that it could be done the day before. And so he says, whatever you're going to bake, whatever you're going to cook, whatever you're going to make for food for the Sabbath, make it on Friday. I've given you the extra time and food for it to be there. Beautiful provision that God had done. Sabbath is also a day for fellowship with friends and believers. And we can do so in the creation of God. Remember, the Sabbath has been given as a memorial of God's creative work, His creative power. And so on the seventh day, when God sat back and looked at all that He had made, He said, it's very good. And He says, I've rested on this day. I bless this day. I set this day apart as holy. But we can do the same thing. We found last night that the Sabbath of the Lord is a day that God has given us for us to remember His creative power. I can do that, and I love to do that. There's hardly a Sabbath that passes by that I won't be found somewhere out walking around in fresh air among trees and plants and birds and flowers. If I can get there, I'll be there. Yes, I gather together with other Christians and have worship together, as the Bible has asked me to do. But when I can get out there, and that in the afternoon, I'm out there walking, breathing clean, fresh air, laying aside all of the cares that could boggle my mind on any other day of the week, and I'm out there spending time in communion with God, because in nature, we can see evidences of God's handiwork. And when I can look at the little flower, which is not a whole lot yet, but they're coming, and I can look at the leaf, and I can look at the magnificent tall tree, you can't help but see the signature of God there. And the more of nature that I observe, the closer I'm brought to my Creator. And I'm reminded that, yes, He made the flowers, He made the grass, He made the sky, the birds, the trees. But guess who else He made? He made me. He made me. And the fact that He made me tells me that I'm in His image. I didn't come from a slime pit. I didn't come from a monkey. I was made in the image of the Creator God. On that day, I'm also reminded that I'm a sinner, but God did something special for me. He saved me. He's died for me. The Bible says that it's a sign of my relationship with Him, that He is the God who sanctifies me. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've sinned, but in Jesus Christ, I can be restored. In Jesus Christ, I can be made new again. And the Sabbath is a reminder of that. Just as I look out now at this time of year, and you look out, the grass is becoming green again. The flowers are starting to poke their little heads up. The leaves, the trees are starting to put out the littlest tiny buds. New life is coming. In Jesus, my Creator, my Sanctifier, my Restorer, I can have newness of life. This is the reason God has given us a Sabbath, for us to be reminded of these things continually, for us to focus and dwell on these things. God has told us that He is God, He is the Lord, He is the Creator, and He is the one that is making a difference in your life and my life if we will let Him. He says, call the Sabbath a delight. Call the day holy, honorable of the Lord. One more thing that we'll go to is Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. Fifth book of Moses, fifth book of the Bible, chapter 5. And this is where we'll bring a close today. Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is a review of the Ten Commandments of God by Moses at the end of his life as he repeats to the people the words that God instructed him to give. He quotes the fourth commandment, but he gives us a little extra detail here about what God has said. Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 12. He says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your donkey, nor any of your cattle, your stranger that is within your gates, that thy manservant and that thy maidservant may rest as well as you. And remember, now this is the nice part here, this is the part I'm pointing out right now, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord brought you out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commands you to keep the Sabbath day holy. God has given us a day, not just a day to stop work, not just a day to put aside secular activity, a day to delight ourselves in Him and remember that He is the one who has brought us out of Egypt. We spoke on that last Thursday evening. God is our deliverer, our liberator from the ways of sin. And the Sabbath is meant to be that. As Israel could remember their captivity in Egypt when they were bondservants, and if they didn't work, they were whipped. If they didn't work, they didn't eat. If they didn't labor and work continually under the pressure of the Egyptian army, they could lose their life. But now they come out and are in freedom of the Lord Jesus. And God says, on this day, when you lay aside your work, because you don't have to work, when you lay aside your care, because you don't have to burden yourself with it this day, remember who I am. Remember what I've done for you. Remember that I have led you out of the land of Egypt. My friends, you and I today have been led out of the land of Egypt, spiritual Egypt. We've been led out of the captivity to sin. And God wants us to delight ourselves and celebrate joyfully on the day that is a memorial of our deliverance. So may this day, this Sabbath today, be a delight. Enjoy it, because Jesus made it for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for your word, for the blessing that it is to us, what we can learn from it, Lord, and how we can understand this beautiful gift of the Sabbath day that you have given to us to remind us who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, may we be drawn closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Jason Williams. I hope that you have been blessed by listening to this presentation today. The Word of God contains so many wonderful things for us to study and learn, and we have just been able to cover a very small portion of it today. I encourage you to continue studying your Bible. God promises to bless you as you seek to know and to do His will. For further messages from this series, or for additional biblical presentations, be sure to check out our website, www.thesureword.org. That's www.thesureword.org. May God richly bless you.